You're listening to Fakeologist Audio, a periodic audio where I explore the world of media fakery. You can find my blog at fakeologist.com, where you'll find all the links to the live stream and audio archives. You'll also find links to my sublogs, forums, email, PayPal, Twitter, and YouTube. We now use Discord for all our interactive audio and text. To join in on any live conversation, go to our main page and connect to the Discord server on the right, or visit bit.ly/fakechat. Now, here's your host, the Fakeologist, Avarado. Hello, everybody. It's July 15th, 2018. It's a Sunday. It is the Ides of July. Idibus Julius, for all those that can speak Latin, all those that are from the Roman Empire. Here we are. We're doing a Fakeologist show. It is Fakeologist episode number 205. And that very esteemed female voice you heard in the background is Faye. Faye, hello.
Yeah, hello up. Hello, everybody. And today I run under the name Mysum.
Oh, you're Mysum. Oh, you're really confusing me. Is that because it's summer? Is that your summer name?
Yes, it's because in the Roman Empire I changed the name.
Oh, right. We're all in the Roman Empire. Well, you can just call me Jules. That's short for Julius if you want.
Okay.
As long as your name isn't Marcus, as in A2 Brute. Isn't he the guy that, he's the guy that stabbed him in the back, isn't it? Marcus? Marcus Aurelius?
Was it not? Oh, yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Brutus.
Is it Brutus or Marcus?
Brutus.
Okay, Brutus. As long as you're not Brutus. Yes. As long as you're not an us, we're okay.
Okay. I will do my best to not be an us.
I called this Fakeologist 55, so I don't know why. I wanted to play that original sin, or it's a sin from Pet Shop Boys, but I did mark this a Fakeologist 55. That's all I'll play of the intro. So we're going to play around. We might go 55 minutes. We might go a little longer. I don't know.
If someone calls in.
Yeah, if we have a call in, that will break the format, of course. And the way to call in, of course, is you can use what's called a POTS, or a plain old telephone system phone number. That's where you pick up the phone and, well, your cell phone probably. And there's this thing called a dial pad, and you punch in numbers. It's very, very ancient, really. And the phone number, if I can bring it up on today's show notes, FAK205 at fakeologist.com. The phone number is, I didn't even put it in my pre-screened text that I usually have, so now I'm going to have to fix that later. But the phone number is, I'll go to my profile on Fakeologist to find it. Here it is, 518-639-6233. 518-639-6233.
And 518-639-6233.
Yeah, can you sing that?
No, I cannot yet.
518-639-6233.
Okay, 6233. You managed to get a 33 in the ending of your number.
I did spend time finding a 33 number. The 518 area code is upstate New York, near the border with Canada, and there aren't too many people that live in the 518. Therefore, I was able to find lots of numbers available through the Skype phone number, and of course, this number does cost money. It's a cost you money to call.
Really?
If you don't have long distance. Yeah, I had to pay for this number. Okay. And it's thanks to donors of the Fakeologist site that I'm able to provide this. Now, we have a caller coming in right now, and his name is Joel. So we're going to take a call right off the bat. Joel, how are you? And Joel just hung up. Okay. I think he hung up.
He didn't hang up, I see.
I see a funny-looking face. I wonder if it could be him. He's with a sideways hat. But, yeah, you can call.
He's avatar only.
Yeah, it's probably an avatar.
Hello, hello.
Hello, Joel. Is that you, Joel?
Yes,
Velasat, Joel? Velasat. Okay.
Yeah.
Is that your
That's
actual
my real name?
Oh, sorry. My real name is Tim. Nice to meet you. And you're talking.
I'm aware of that.
You're talking with the lovely Faye, and that might be her real name. I can't remember, honestly.
That's my real nickname, my real Greek nickname.
All right, Joel, is that your avatar, your picture?
Yeah, this is my real person Skype.
All right, that's fine. Sorry, I called.
I couldn't be bothered setting up another account.
I'm sorry, I called the picture kind of goofy, so don't delete that.
okay, that's nice.
No, I wasn't sure if it was an avatar or what, because some people put funny avatars.
It was
avatars.
A tongue-in-cheek picture when I took it anyway, so.
All right. Well, you look like a very healthy white male, so congratulations.
I like to think that.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in. We're just doing sort of a Fakeologist 55, Fakeologist hybrid show here. We're going to talk. I think almost three people is almost enough to have on the call.
Are you live at the moment, or?
We are live. We're streamcasting. Yeah, we're ice casting over the Fakeologist Radio Network. We're all around the world. We're on Fakeologist Radio 2, I like to call it, because Fakeologist Radio 1 doesn't exist anymore since no one was listening. So yeah, we are all around the world. This is the...
I tried to pull up too, but I wasn't hearing anything. Like, it was just a repeat of the show, I thought.
Well, that's because we started 10 minutes ago, exactly. So if you would have done that 11 minutes ago, you would have had a repeat show.
I might have missed it, yeah.
Yeah.
And you said your name is Joe, or do we call you something else?
Well, I always go by Velocet on Discord, but a lot of people on Discord know my real name. That's not me.
I just wanted to ask you, yeah, you sound like Velocet. Yeah. Only the Australian accent. Yeah.
It is Velocet. That's the whole funny part.
It is Velocet.
It is Velocet. Yeah. You must have missed him saying he didn't bother setting up a Velocet name on Skype. So he called in as Joel, and that's why I kind of wasn't sure who it was, so I just assume people don't use necessarily their real avatar.
That's usually the case.
That is usually the case, so maybe it still isn't the case, I don't know, but I can tell you that my avatar, I don't really look like that with the blue hat.
You're still wearing Christmas clothes.
Yeah.
That's your Disney version.
That's my Disney version. So this is the first time I think...
You have a fantastic sound at the moment. You have the professional infrastructure at the moment that you're using.
Yeah, that's me.
Wow, that's really cool.
I think you've complimented me on that before.
Very good voice.
You needed a compliment after I sent you an insult, so there you go. There, we're even.
Yeah, I'm all balanced out.
You're balanced out on the Fakeologist Radio Network. And, you know, I've been doing this for about 6 years. This is my own platform, and I'm just using free software to get my signal to a paid IceCast server. Now, anybody can set an IceCast server up. You have to pay for it. But I still don't understand why more people aren't broadcasting live around the world using some fairly rudimentary technology. But people should be doing that. And don't use YouTube. You can buy your own server or rent your own server. It's very, very reasonable.
It's important to note that IceCast is free code as well, so you can get it from the Ziff Foundation and run it on your own computer if you don't want to rent a server, but you need to have the bandwidth, of course.
Well, that's good information, actually. Maybe we should talk later. Maybe I should just do that myself because the bandwidth is going down in price all around the Western world. Mm. So maybe I don't need a server. But actually, I kind of like having the server off my property for the simple reason that, for the most part, I'm not broadcasting. But I am running old shows that are always broadcasting. So this station is always live. So I actually... It's probably just cheaper to keep it on someone else's shared server space, but thanks for that tip on that. But we like to talk fakery on this website. Fakeologist 55 or fakeologist.com is the website. And the other reason I wanted to keep this to 55 minutes is because most people's attention span is about a third of that or a fifth of that, but we have so much to talk about all the time. This is such a complete site now. We have forums, we have blog posts, we have comments, we have a Fakeopedia. We have so much stuff here, it's impossible
to keep up. But before I go on, let me just thank the latest donor. I'm not going to read every single donor, but John LeBon did say he was going to make a donation thanks to last week's show with Simon Shack and Hoi Polloi that he roundly criticized, which is his right and his purview. But he did come through with a donation, so thank you, John LeBon. And we've had a couple of repeat donors that have subscriptions, and they are among the long list on fakeologist.com on the right. Velicet is one of those fantastic people, and so is Faye. And we have some regulars that chip in $1.19 a month. And I don't have them isolated or separated, but they are also to be thanked. And it is because of them we can have the Icecast server, we can have this phone number, and we can pay for the website. So thank you all very much. And if you don't make a donation, that's fine too. Send me an email to say you are listening, because there's no way in this world right now to track who's listening. Donate or downloads don't equal listeners. Live stream listeners don't equal total listeners either. There's just no way of telling. I know Apple's trying to do something to figure it out, but there's no way of knowing unless you drop me a line. And my email is ima@fakeologist.com. Do you get the joke? I'm a fakeologist. That's how it works. So, yeah, send me an email, ima@fakeologist.com, or go to the contact page on the main site. There's so many ways to let me know you listen, and I do get a lot of friendly emails. I usually publish them, so I don't keep them secret. I do publish the nasty ones, too, just so you can, so people can see how nasty. But I rarely get those. So if you want to send a nasty one or a friendly one, I will publish it. Just let it be known. I won't give out your personal info unless you're really nasty. And then I'll just let it all out.
Velocet, if you want to talk with App about the topic that you brought here, you should try to interrupt him because he's not going to stop.
Okay, I'm stopping. That was my introduction.
I want to be a fly on the wall for your conversation.
I want to be a fly on the wall for your conversation.
I haven't got a lot to discuss. I just thought if you wanted to catch up on some of the Thai boy cave stuff that's going on.
I would love to. Is that still current, or is that now in a distant memory? That's the problem with fakeology. If you're not fast on your feet, it could be old news fast.
It was still relatively interesting to me because I only found out quite late in the piece, because I keep my head out of the news, because for me it becomes, you know, quite depressing to hear about this stuff all the time. I go through periods where I keep my head down and just listen to my favorite DJ Howard Stern, you know, and do that instead of staying in current news. Well, yeah, like you went back and you're doing the whole This American Life thing. Mm-hmm. I have all his all the uncensored material off satellite from 2006 onwards.
Okay.
So when I'm tired of keeping up with the good old mainstream media, I tend to go back and just stick a few of those on my phone, and then I've got something to listen to, you know, that's entertaining.
Yeah, he doesn't really talk about current events except in Robin's news segment. So it's not
I find because the news is at the end, I can listen to all the segments through the first half of the show, and then once it gets to the last hour of news, I just skip to the next episode. So I don't have to hear all the current events that are completely irrelevant from 10 years ago. I can just hear all the actual, you know, prepared radio bits that they've got for that day.
Yeah. And a lot of people don't like Robin, who does the news, so I can see how many people skip that last bit as well, because they've never liked her for various reasons. Faye, have you ever listened to Howard Stern?
No, I think, is that the one where you had also a presence once?
No, that's Howard. Humble, that's Humble Howard. Yeah, that's another Howard. What a coincidence.
No, Howard Stern I haven't heard. Is it interesting? Should I?
I don't think it's targeted at females, because a lot of it is very sexual and sexist and maybe females aren't too interested in that. I would say his fan ratio.
Is it funny or is it boring?
Oh, very funny, but I think, Ab, you need to probably bear in mind as well that outside the US, it's not really well known. Like, because it's, Faye, it's like pay radio, like pay TV.
It's
only broadcast inside the United States, so it's very uncommon for people outside that to have heard about it. I only know about it because I worked in radio. A lot of people in Australian radio and all kinds of radio, they listen to it just for the radio side of it, because a lot of bits Like if you listen to a breakfast show here in Australia, most of the time segments they've got on have been basically plagiarized from Howard a few days earlier. So they just listen to him to get ideas and then basically convert it and use it in an Australian context. Yeah. So I only got onto it through people in radio telling me about how good it was and it was worth a listen. But, yeah, he's not really publicly promoted anywhere else apart from the United States.
Okay.
Well, yes, that is true. And he started off in terrestrial over-the-air radio in the New York market, and then he was one of the first – he'll probably say he was the first to franchise the show across the country because he said morning radio doesn't have to be local. Just because we don't have to have weather and traffic, we can basically do a show like Telelivision that can go around the country and anyone can listen to it. Just because he's from New York doesn't mean someone across the country will not like it or listen to it. And he was one of the first to do that. And I dare say that Sirius simulated satellite radio probably wouldn't exist without him, only because he probably brought the greatest base of listeners to get that scam service going. So I think.
Sorry for the Dave J. Now, but he looks a bit like Bob Dylan in his early version.
Yeah, well, he's another he's a Russian Jew, if you want to get technical, or maybe a Polish Jew, Eastern European.
No, I didn't mean that.
Well,
just visually, you know.
Yes, he
looks like Bob Dylan.
And yes, he does. He's got a face made for radio, and a lot of people. Well, there's been some research on him and his wife as EGI individuals.
Yeah, Google his wife, Faye. You'll be interested to see her.
Yes, they were. They were marked as EGI individuals. It's quite possible. And the way he talks, the sexual nature of the show, you really have to have listened to him for years and years, like myself.
Do you have any clips up?
Of the Howard Stern show?
Yeah.
Well, one of the most famous clips is one I've saved on my archives, and that is the Howard Stern 9/11 show.
I played a bit of that in the live stream going back about 6 months.
Right. Did you ever – do you know the timestamp of when you started yapping about 9/11?
I'll just cut a random clip from the show and put it on there, something I think sort of defines his style, if that helps.
Well, I've got it here. It's a 5-hour, 21-minute, and 49-second clip here. This is how it starts. He has this funny sort of hard metal rock introduction. And it's quite low, I know. I don't know why it's so low. I'll have to raise it up. But it always starts like this, sort of a rough sound at the beginning.
He was in that song, I think, wasn't he?
Yeah, he played in it. Him and Rob Zombie. I know too much about this. I'm not necessarily proud of it.
That's like all radio people are like huge Stern fans. They know all the past characters.
Yeah.
Hey everybody, what's happening? Good to see you. Vinny Penn is in with us. Not Vinny Favalli. Vinny Penn is a different guy.
Thank you for the clarification, Howard.
Yeah, because people don't like Vinny Favalli, and everyone loves Vinny Penn.
Yeah, my own mother was like, they all hate you on there. Sound like an idiot on there. I'm like, wow, that's Favalli.
Yeah. I'm the only guy who likes Vinny Favalli.
And it's funny, Velocet is on the line because Velocet, you're a sound person and you like radio. And it's said that Howard Stern compresses the hell out of his microphone. So he wanted to be the deepest, most powerful voice on the radio. So I don't think he really sounds, well, he doesn't, he comes across as more high pitched than that, but he's definitely compressed the hell out of his mic.
You find compression often actually enhances the highs, not the lows.
Okay.
He certainly has a nice timbre to his voice, but I think that's mostly the microphone. And I'm, like, as I come to you now, I'm compressed as well. I run mine through a compressor.
All right. I don't have a compressor. The only compressor I have is in my air conditioner. Thank goodness today. But, yeah, that was quite a show. And one of the reasons why so many people like Howard Stern is because he uses what I think is one of the best tactics in broadcasting. He claims he's being completely honest all the time. So he'll tell you all kinds of intimate details of his life. And so he gets a large audience of voyeurs or people that they can relate to him because he's so honest about all the things he does that normally would not be talked about, private things and sexual things and whatnot. So that's why he's a huge, super loyal following. A lot of the times, I guess, of the stereotypical follower might be maybe an older man who didn't get married, a bit of a social misfit. That really is his audience that one might stereotype. And when you see people come out to his television appearances on the talk shows, you do see a lot of people that look like they're somewhat social misfits. But that's not to say regular people don't listen as well. And his other very important comment is, or the very other very important thing to say about that is that many people that hate him listen to him as well, and they ask, well, why do you listen to someone you don't like? Well, because I can't wait to see what he's going to say next. I can't wait to listen to what he's going to say next, how he's going to offend me some other way. So, again, it goes back to Rollo's point of view where what is the opposite of love? It's indifference. So his lovers and
haters.
Where's
Rollo, actually? Is he a soccer fan?
I don't know. That's a very tangential comment, Faye. Come on. Try and keep it in line. Rollo, who knows where he is? So Howard Stern is definitely probably one of the most popular radio personalities of all time. He still broadcasts. And I think he's the main reason why Sirius Simulated Satellite Radio got going in the first place. And, of course, my view is there are no such things as satellites. But what Sirius Simulated Satellite Radio did, A, they raised a ton of money in the name of launching satellites, which I don't believe they've launched anything. And what that did is they came along in the digital age when you could take a digital signal that comes through the airwaves and you could pack many, many channels into it and you use a computer at both ends to encode it and decode it. Whereas before, an analog signal is you could only send one set of sound waves from one broadcast transmitter to be received at radios. But Sirius Simulated Satellite Radio, all that really is digital radio where you can pack. You can take the same amount of RF frequency and divide it up into a computer tone system and use a computer to decode what they say are 100 different channels. And those 100 channels are low fidelity because they have to split the bandwidth, but they're still very usable sound. It's still good enough sound to fool most people. But that is what satellite radio is. It's just it is misnamed. But that's what it is. And they took all that satellite launching into space money and basically paid a lot of talent. They would, if they had 100 channels, just say, they had to pay Howard Stern a lot, I'm sure. And then there's lots of other disc jockeys and channels. And then they try and sell the system on top of local systems that are already there. So they're trying to create a national radio system out of basically nothing, starting with Howard Stern. And if you notice, their main competition is basically people's personal libraries now, because radio is not for music anymore. People don't get their music over the air because they get it on demand. Or they use,
but that's the thing. We're just waiting for the emergence of, you know, well, really just data on the internet to become cheaper so people can stream and do things or, you know, listen on demand with their own devices. I mean, satellite radio was a success because it came along at the time it did when people hadn't really cut over to internet technologies yet. They still relied on the broadcasting concept. But,
you still had to buy a satellite receiver. You still had to buy what they call a satellite receiver, which was clumsy. It was ugly. I had a couple.
And that was for the licensing as well.
Well, the whole point is, I don't know how many people in the position of power, to relate this to Fakeology, were fooled in the sense that because the signal, so-called signal, came from space, it became a no man's land of regulation. So that's where the fakery aspect comes into play. So people said, well, we're not in your country. We're just broadcasting from space, and nobody owns space. Well, I'm sure the United States would say they own it. And we're just coming down into your country. So that lets them supersede the local laws, similar to companies like Uber and Amazon and Netflix. They all come out, get a head start, because nobody knows how to regulate or license or tax them. So it does take time.
But for the elites, don't you think that there's a degree of putting out sort of more, because it's completely uncensored, surely the agenda is to put out more sort of degenerate type of content. Like, they really want that in our hands. It's not that the company was really that much of a green upstart that, you know, was able to avoid regulation. Don't you think that's kind of the point, was to do that and get this content in people's hands? Because we've seen a very huge shift in the degeneracy of society as, you know, kids have access to internet and pornography and all kinds of stuff like that.
That's a hard one to say. Well, first of all, Howard Stern was accused of being a degenerate broadcaster anyway before satellite radio. So that was his claim to fame. That's how he got noticed and listened to. And sometimes I wonder, because I'm not in the degenerate part of society, and I probably never will get into it in my lifetime, but I often wonder, is media a reflection of society, or are they projecting onto society? Really, I'm not sure. It's a chicken and egg situation. Which came first? Who's reflecting who? Who's influencing who? What do you think of that, Faye? Got to get you into this convo.
I think it's a matter of velocity, or how is the right word? How fast something goes.
Yeah, velocity of speech.
Actually, it is retro. It goes both sides. The media transform society. Society transforms media, and the influence is from both sides to both sides. But the control of the media, of course, that is possible with technological, with digital technology, since 150 years, maybe. Is impossible to keep up for a society. So it creates a gap, and that's where I think power comes in, and misuse comes in, and manipulation, and all these things. Was that on topic, or was I out of topic?
No, that's good. Well, you didn't bring up Rollo, so it was on topic.
Rollo is a radio guy. That's why I brought him.
Oh, that is true. Yeah, I forgot about that aspect. Well, he's welcome to call in. We are live on fakeologist.com/S's and Sierra/radio2. And that creates another URL. And you can put that into your phone and use any phone live stream player. I use XIAA Live. It's free on my Android device. And all you do is click on the stream. It should bring up that application. And you can stream on your phone and then connect to your stereo using whatever you use, whether it be Android Auto or iOS Auto or whatever it's called, or just use straight up Bluetooth. So you can listen to anything live on any device now, anywhere in the world. I'm not sure if people know the technology. You don't have to sit at your desktop. And that's the beauty, of course, of the smartphone. It does so many things. It is just a computer in your hand. So we do that. We do broadcast live. It'd be kind of neat if I did a morning show and got paid for it. I don't know if I'd have enough to talk about fakery-wise. But it wouldn't be that hard. And if we just took calls, and you can call us at 518-639-6233 as well. 518-639-6233. Or call me on Skype at Fakeologist.
I should also take time to mention as well the connection, if Faye's not aware, like, it's called Sirius XM, and that came out of a merger with XM Radio, but it was originally just called Sirius Radio. And of course, Sirius Radio sponsored the Stephen Paddock, who mowed down everyone in the paddock in Las Vegas.
Ah.
So the ascent of Sirius mentioned in the Truman Show, and I know JLB's done a lot of work on the significance of Sirius, the dog star, and of course Sirius XM's logo is a dog. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of occult stuff in that as well, right there in front of your face.
I just put it in the live stream, and I'm happy that you now confirm somehow that it was the right connection that I found. Howard 100 and Howard 101 are two uncensored channels on Sirius Satellite Radio and XM Satellite Radio. And it was created in 2008, July 29, after the U.S. Federal Communications Commission approved the acquisition of XM Satellite Radio Holding Incorporated by Sirius Satellite Radio Incorporated.
Right. Well, they merged because, first of all, it was originally going to be one bandwidth that they were allocated. And make no mistake, they're transmitting from the ground. They are definitely transmitting from the ground. They are doing so in a way I'm not quite
sure. What's your evidence for that?
Well, because there's no such thing as satellites. They're transmitting from the ground.
I'm on your side. I'm just having one.
Yeah, you're being JLV. They do something different, though, because their signal is very faint. But if you drive into the bushes of Canada where there shouldn't be a transmitter, you can get a super weak signal, and it does somehow get through. Now, how do they get it to the bushes of Ontario? I'm not too sure. Are they
bouncing? They have these balloons?
I don't believe there's balloons because, man, if you have a huge storm, they'll blow all over the place. So I'm not sure. It's possible, but I really doubt it.
But there are no storms up there.
Up to
a degree, maybe.
I'm not a big. I think that there are some super strong transmitters that you can spend money and put them around the country, and what happens is they will transmit into the vast rural areas of North America, and they're vast, huge.
There's 500,000 watt transmitters in Russia that like a lot of this you know, like shortwave and things like that, they can bounce all over the place and reach the other side of the world. Like I've seen people in Australia here talk to people in Europe using Morse code.
Okay, and yes, that's true.
It makes me think, like, with the whole satellite thing, we know we have a big dish on the ground. Like, if you've seen the movie The Dish, which is, of course, about the Australians taking part in the moon landings, I mean, we know we have this big dish that sits here on the ground.
Okay.
And the story is that it beams up to a thing in the sky that translates and beams back down. So, for me, it's not that hard to believe that there is no thing in the sky. It's just the dish here bouncing off whatever in the atmosphere and dispersing a signal, you know?
Okay. Yeah, I buy that. But go ahead, Faye.
Just something that I found out of just a little, you know, looking around on the internet about how it might work. I was impressed that the radius of these transmissions, maybe not with the short waves, I didn't look that up, but the satellite TV that I was looking, there are specific spots that are covered from these, let's say, satellite TV1 in Europe that covers only South Europe and North Africa. So it has something it means something, and it could mean that it is really stationary on the Earth and it just can go so far.
Well, yeah, it's stationary coming from the ground. If a satellite is really 22,000 miles up, then I should be able to get African stuff just like someone in Africa.
Mm.
The difference between Africa and North America is negligible compared to the difference between the satellite and the ground. So all signals should be available everywhere. But if you are just bouncing it locally, then of course only Africans could get a signal bounced from the other side of the Mediterranean, for instance. But it's not going to be bounced or aimed at North America if it's from the ground. But if it's in the 22,000 miles in the air, which is an insane amount of distance, and I don't think anything could travel that far, the power would be a billion zillion watts, then that's another reason to completely eliminate the idea that they are transmitting from space. Not to mention how much power, how much voltage,
Get onto that. If you want me to comment on that.
Go ahead.
You're talking about, okay, so we know, like I know from knowledge, basically there are transmitters in the world that are hitting the 500 kilowatt mark.
That's 500,000
watts. 500,000 watts.
And my air conditioner uses about 4,000 watts, and a hairdryer is 1,500. I know a lot of these numbers. So,
yeah, here most of our metropolitan radio stations, we use most of the licenses for the big metro ones. They have a 20 kilowatt license.
Okay.
So you think about 20 kilowatt. That's 20,000 watts that are required. Now, we're talking about a transmitter that's usually the size of a couple of big double-door fridges, right? They look like a big fridge.
Okay.
So you think about the weight that's involved with that to pump out 20 kilowatt. Now, they go up a huge antenna, and the antenna design actually allows for gain in the signal. And with that amount of power, you can reach a metropolitan city. So if you look at the size of Australia and you look at the size of Sydney compared to Australia and you think it takes 20,000 watts just to cover Sydney or Brisbane or any of our cities, they're supposedly supposed to be sending out something from a dish that's, you know, hundreds of miles away or hundreds of thousands, whatever, miles away, yet we're supposed to believe they've got enough power up there in the sky harvested off solar panels to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's just insane. Like we need full round the clock.
So okay,
huge
broadcast
three phase power to run that kind of thing, you know.
So broadcast at 20,000 watts. Now, how much electricity is that? How much does that need? So it needs 20,000 watts every second to make that.
No,
wave?
Well, it doesn't. Yeah, it doesn't exactly translate.
Yeah.
Like that. 20,000 watts is the power going up the stick, and the idea is that the actual antenna design allows for gain in the signal as it goes up the antenna.
Okay, so it gets
so the power
gain
is not necessarily 20,000 watt, but we're still talking three phase power, which means it's not what a standard domestic house could support. This is a special type of heavy infrastructure power that factories and that would have for heavy equipment.
Hmm.
So yeah, there is internal design in the circuitry that allows it to output higher than it takes in, because it's like converting, you know, AC to DC, you know, like you have a little transformer plug pack on your wall. It takes 240 volt in, but it spits out, you know, 5 volt for your iPhone using internal transformers. It's the same concept with amplifying a signal to get it up the stick. You have coils in the design that allow for that amplification.
Okay.
And most transmitters are really just a very small device that creates, it takes in your audio, multiplexes it onto your, you know, 101.7 or 99.7 or whatever your frequency is, and then it just goes through amplifier after amplifier, boosting, all the way up to your 20,000 watts. So no, it doesn't have to take in 20,000 watts, but you know, you'd be talking a few thousand watts at least off three-phase power.
Mm-hmm.
So that sounds very unhealthy.
No, you don't want to be around them for too long, yeah. I can tell you that much.
Does it have anything to do with 5G that is coming now? And in Switzerland it is coming very soon?
Well, 5G is just another extension of our previous mobile networks like 3G, 4G. Now we're on to the fifth generation of technology as they learn to encode the signals better and use beamforming and other adaptive technologies. They can increase the throughput.
Yeah.
So I think 5G is going to be...
Isn't it also a frequency that is going from antennas similar to the radio frequencies, or is it a different kind of...
I think
matter?
It's all the same. It's all RF signaling.
Yeah, I think it's true.
I don't know why
it's
being...
Well, it's not, no. Like,
no?
It's in different ranges. All your 5G is in, the gigahertz range, and radio frequencies in the megahertz range. So it's different frequencies, which, from my understanding, have different effects. Like, I mean, I know if I put myself in a giant microwave oven, you know, microwaves are not going to do me any good. They're going to excite particles in my body due to their high frequency, whereas radio waves that are broadcast in a city pass through me all day long every day just from being transmitted. But it's the distance. So a lot of cellular technology uses high frequency, but it's not high power, so it doesn't go that far. Whereas with radio frequency for, like, actual radio stations, you're using frequencies that can travel a bit further. So that's how you can blanket a city from one transmitter.
Well,
I don't
think there's anything particularly dangerous about 5G, because it does, I agree, stand for fifth generation, because we've gone through many generations of formats, and I don't think this one's any worse than the others. I'm not quite sure where that fear story comes from, other than the fact that people just don't have any idea what they're talking about, so they think it's dangerous. But there's so much RF broadcast from so many transmitters now that if we're not being affected now, then, and not ill affected now, then it's no one's studying it. Let's put it that way. So no one's studying the effects.
You have more reason to be concerned about a mobile phone next to your head or your Wi-Fi in your house than you do about a transmitter in your city, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Mm. Well, why don't we move on to the tie thing? We've been going for...
Yes.
We've been going for 50 minutes, 43 minutes. So
start up one of those media discussions. It's very easy to get carried away.
Well, we're all interested in it, and I love media. You like radio, and it's just it's fascinating.
I'm
more interested in the transition. What's next? What's happening? What's the only reason I don't own a radio station
now? Where do I invest my money?
And I guess a radio station. Okay, a radio station is just a business, but they don't own the frequency. They just license it. Ultimately, the government still owns all the frequencies. So they license it and they take in fees for the use of it. But I think if the only reason to own a radio station, and I've said this before, is just to control or have access to the frequency and try and get compensation later when the government reallocates it towards all digital media data. It'll all be data signaling. There will be no over-the-air analog broadcasts, as far as I'm concerned. They already took it away from the TV. There's no more analog TV here in North America. It's all digital. So I'm guessing the same is going to happen with radio.
Yeah, we're the same here. I mean, analog TV's been switched off and it's all changed to digital, but see, that's because digital gives you a huge increase in performance. You know, you get high def, and now 4K will be on the way soon, you know. So image seems to be going up and up as digital technology is introduced. But with audio, people looked at it like, oh, well, it's some encoded crap that we don't really want. You get better quality through FM. So there was no government push here to change regulation and put digital radio in cars. So the automotive industry has basically kept analog radio alive till today.
Yes. I still have I just recently got a car and after a long time, and it still has a radio in it, which is surprising. It doesn't have a CD player. It does not have a cassette player, of course. That's a long time ago. It has, auxiliary. It has USB and Bluetooth, but there is there's nowhere to put media except maybe a USB key.
Interesting.
So yeah, that's
why. Well, I'd just say after a long time, did you think people would be concerned where all that fakeologist money?
Yeah, exactly. No, it's just because I've been pushing my old cars so hard, and now just the salt and the rust. Yeah, I don't want anyone to think I'm living high off the fakeologist hog. You picked that up beautifully, thank you. But let's transition over to the Thai cave hoax story. Now, I didn't see, there's not a lot of hoax activity on YouTube anymore, so it's easy to forget about these things.
Well, that's how we got into the whole discussion. I was talking about not keeping my head on the news, and I'd only heard about the event a few weeks after it had first happened, and I just was
it's
in
only
time
a week
to
old,
see
though.
The news stories about, I don't know about a week. It's been a bit longer than that, because when I'd first heard about it, apparently a family member said, oh, this has happened a week ago and you're just catching up now. So,
okay.
It was already about 10 days in when I found out.
Yeah. Was it the 23rd of June?
23rd of June, yeah. The They got lost. And 10th of July, it was finished. They had rescued.
Oh, okay. Well, I posted on the 10th of July then. I didn't really want to post on it because I had nothing to say because I wasn't looking at it. But it did hit the top of the pops of the media... of the media infrastructure, so therefore we know there's a problem with the story.
Exactly. Yeah. And I noticed it a little bit earlier, I think, maybe a week earlier, because it was so big in the international media, and especially in South Europe, in Greek media and Spanish media. So I thought... it is really a very good topic for societies where they need or they try to use intense emotions in the media propaganda topics. Northern Europe is more serious. They don't have big pictures and all this life or whatever. So, yeah, that was the starting for me. And I saw then... that Terran Down Whale made also some comments that go in the direction that you mentioned, Velocet, with occult references or something. And I had not thought about that. Would you like to tell us a little bit about your thoughts?
Oh, I didn't specifically have any occult stuff to mention. For me, it was like once I'd found out about it, I went to our the website of our national broadcaster, the ABC, and the thing that sort of I didn't really need to look at the event too much. Of course, it comes on the TV these days, and I just go, oh, not again, you know, like, here's another load of crap. And, of course, I'm sitting with family that, you know, are completely concerned and almost shocked that I'm not aware of tragic things going on in the world. How can you not care? How can you be, you know, like the same old thing we all experience?
Yeah.
So I just went to this site to have a look, and the confirmation for me is when I go to an ABC news story, and because the event had been in the news for a week, we sort of the way the ABC structures their articles, they post the article. But if you go to the bottom of the article, they have links to all the other articles on that event. Mm. And when I went to this list to look at them, I'm looking at it now. I took a screenshot of it because I haven't been able to find it since. But
put it in the Discord stream.
So yeah, I'll crop it and send it to you. But
okay, cool.
Basically, the list of this, and remember, this is just our local syndication news feed, you know, like the Australian spun stories. And I'm sure every other nation gets their own versions from their own local news source. But so I'm aware that there's these boys in this cave. But then we look through at these stories and it's like I'm looking and I read Elon Musk sends SpaceX boring code to help rescue Thai soccer team. Don't forget my birthday. Thai boys write to parents. Rice farmer volunteers at rescue site despite flooded farm. And once you start to see all these interwoven human stories, you go, man, they've got some good episode writers for this shit, you know? Mm-hmm. Like,
yes.
They just come out of the woodwork and spin all these stories. So for me, once I'd sort of looked at that, I didn't bother to get too into the detail. I did notice PK put out a video on it, and he's up to his usual tricks, pointing out the 666 hand signs and the devil horns and the usual stuff. And I go, well, you know, I don't like to put a lot of stock in that, but it's always there, isn't it? It's always in the photos.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a family dinner late last week, and we had a few relatives over. So we're all sitting around the dinner table, and, you know, as it always is, the topic comes up and everyone wants to talk about it. And, oh, this poor doctor, he was there saving those boys, but his own father died while he was there. Oh, my God. And I said, oh, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, all these human interest stories.
Do you know, guys, yeah, well, do you know, like, and I'd read this story earlier, right, about because they were a soccer team, they were talking about, there was a news article here about sending them all to Russia for the World Cup. So I said it around the table. I said, oh, listen, you know what else they're doing? They're going to send them all overseas to Russia. And I said it intentionally with a smirk on my face, right? And this is how I've changed my tactic. So everyone immediately said, oh, you're smirking, you're joking. Yeah, no, it's just a joke. You're just having us on. I said, if you can't tell what's real and what's fake, how do you even know that whole thing's real? You know, like I can tell you that they're flying them to Russia and you think I'm a bullshit artist, but they've claimed that's what they're doing.
Mm.
Anyway, I recheck on the article tonight, and now there's new articles here in the Australian media how Elon Musk was just doing it as a PR stunt and he never intended to actually help out with his submarine, which is an easy cop-out when you don't have to deliver.
Well, to tie it all back to just traditional media, I've heard that on the No Agenda show anyway, that the soccer viewing audience has declined 50% since last time. So just as live sports is the last moneymaker for over-the-air television broadcasting, it is declining rapidly. So that market is disappearing too, thanks to the internet.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that's just because people these days are so self-centered and more wrapped in the social media bubble that they don't need to watch that live stuff? Because I like that doesn't surprise me. It sounds about right.
No, I think
right,
it's just because they don't have the patience to sit through it. It takes too long.
Mm.
People don't have time. Before, we only had so many media distractions. You could read a paper, and that's a slow process, and you need a little bit of brain power to read. And then TV came along, and then we have the flickering screen, which is difficult on your brain. It makes it super hard to concentrate. And it's just we can pull our media from a million zillion sources now. We don't have to sit, make an appointment with the television, and sit through a fairly low action event on TV, a ball being kicked around. It's not that fast moving. Yeah, of course, it takes tremendous skill. I'm not going to. I used to play soccer. It takes a lot of horsepower and a lot of fitness to do, but it's boring compared to your favorite musician dancing around on his head or your favorite doctor popping zits. It just doesn't compete. And all sports has the same problem. Imagine the guys golf.
So you're saying that these events do try to enhance the consume of the media?
For sure. I think so. Yeah, they're trying to promote something, whatever it is.
So it's specifically to promote soccer, right? Like, 'cause to me, I just feel like that abundance of individual stories, all these human interest stories that surround the central event, to me seem like just an episodic spin-off. To keep you in front of the TV for each night of the week, so you got a new episode to watch. You know?
Oh, I agree with that too. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Well, I tried to look a little bit after Xiophilex posted also on fecologist.com about a PSYOP 2006, if I remember right, that also was involving a Thai cave. Mm-hmm. Where three British guys were lost, and then I tried to research around, and I found many entries on these international platforms for traveling. I don't remember the names now, TripAdvisor and such stuff, and also other media. And it is obviously a very common thing that Thailand, that has many caves that are completely not inventorized or... Mm-hmm. etc., that there are many of these accidents. So I thought, wow, that is a good point. Maybe they tried to protect tourists also with this narrative of that PSYOP, to make a big event so that people get aware that it is dangerous to go in Thailand in some cave if you have no idea what the weather is and whatever. That was one aspect, but the other aspect I thought was also interesting that Tom D27 brought on the Discord stream, that it was somehow like a parallel story to the soccer games where England was at the same time that the children were being saved, the game between England and the other, I don't know who it was, took place, and England had to go home. So it was somehow a British script and a Thailand script, very good combined in order to fulfill all these aims, to enhance the media consume, to accompany the events on the World Cup of the football stuff, and to protect the tourists in Thailand. And it was also a drill, of course. It was a cooperation of the Thai military and U.S. Navy SEALs that were there.
They're saying 1,000 people or something, which is 1,000 people involved in a rescue effort. That seems a bit unbelievable. 1,000, come on.
And a whole movie set in a cave. They had really cameras and studios and,
Wow.
Very interesting PSYOP.
Yeah,
so, Ab, I know you like digging into the actual mechanics of the magic and how it's pulled off. Do you think there's any element of this is real? Like, okay, a cave did have a bit of water in it, or, you know, like, are these kids completely innocent and, you know, are under the illusion that they went through water to escape, or are they evil and in on it and giving us the devil horns because they're blatant deceivers, as some would suggest?
Yeah. I don't believe that the kids were in a cave. That was just a staged story. It's like a movie set, you know.
Yes, I believe that. I agree with you.
Yeah, and there was only one picture of the... I mean, they were said to have had iPhones in the cave, and they could send one of the pictures, but That's just stupid, this argument, because if they had iPhones, they could have sent other messages also. It is just I think there starts the occult, where quote-unquote for me, because I don't believe in such theories, but the occult as a possibility to present information in the public sphere starts where the images are designed. Mm-hmm. Why are these young male presented as a soccer team, why are they in that cave? That reminded actually on some movies of the type of with Harrison Ford, this legendary Hollywood stuff with India and what was the name of these? I don't remember. But it is very, very interesting to analyze why are these images like that? Why are they designed like that?
No, I agree. I wish that's where I had more knowledge to decode what I'm looking at. Because I know it's not real, but why are those choices or aesthetic choices made? Yes. I agree with you.
I think it's just conspiracy.
With that
candy.
Stuff, when I just get annoyed about the actors, and I think it's important. I always try to remind myself of the Wag the Dog thing, where they've literally just hired this woman played by, I forget the name now, but they've got that girl come in and she pretends to be the, you know, they put a thing around her head and she's, you know, escaping with a cat from a bomb or whatever.
Yeah, she's holding a bag of chips.
It's just done on green screen.
Yeah.
Mm.
She's holding a bag
I
of
got
chips.
The name now, guys. Indiana Jones was
okay.
The movie. Indiana Jones has all these occult references with ancient civilizations in India and Egypt and whatever.
Yeah.
And the picture from the cave with the boys was one that was very similar to the picture of that episode of Indiana Jones where he rescued some children that were working in mines in dark caves somewhere in India. Not sure if I can find a picture now.
Yeah, and there are quite a few comments on that particular post. That's why I put it up. I just use it as a placeholder mainly so other people who are really interested can comment on it. And Taryn Downvale put a pretty... He always comes up with some pretty wacky theories. And if Taryn is listening, definitely call in. We like to put a voice to a lot of these big comment people that make lots of comments, including Zalphalex, of course. We like to hear from him, so...
Is Taryn a regular poster on your side, is he?
He was for a long time. Okay. And then, yeah, just like everyone else, they come and they go based on interest and real life, I suppose, gets in the way of people. If you assume that they're all real, which I think for the most part, these are people just not here to disrupt, but just trying to figure things out as well. But, yeah.
Taryn's comment was very interesting, I thought. I don't believe in synchronicity or that, but I just view it as a kind of interpretation of things. But the interpretation is interesting.
Would you like to read through it?
Yeah, summarize it a bit if you'd like.
Oh, I'm now just searching for a picture of the boys. I cannot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I don't have the comment of him open right now. Didn't you read it, Velocet?
No, I haven't seen it.
Oh, you haven't seen it.
Let me put a link in the show notes, and make sure you put all the links in the show notes, not in the chat, in the Discord server. In the show notes, here we go. There's a link to the post. If you want to click on that Vela set, you can look through it if you'd like. If you want to,
you're saying I've been doing things wrong. I was trying to treat show notes like literal production notes, like who was on at what time. And chat was for posting links. That's what I've been doing.
No, I know. I used to have one Discord channel just for that. But I wanted to separate it because any notes I want to lift and put in the show notes. The chat is just talking back and forth with the people that are listening live, I suppose.
Yeah, but I mean, a lot of these links we've posted here since we've been talking, that wouldn't be practical to put in like all these links. That's a lot to put in show notes, isn't it?
No, it's good. Because I just copy and paste it into a show note post on the Fakeologist blog because I don't save the Discord notes. They just scroll off in wherever they go. They're on the Discord server. I bring things and capture them into the Fakeologist server. So yeah, anything that's really relevant, I put in the live stream show notes. And I'll copy them later. I know Faye put, or Missam put some stuff into the chat, but it belongs in the notes. But now I'll have to...
Because I don't know, you know, if it is worth to be on the show notes. That's
well, it is. Time. Anything we're talking about, you save people from looking up. You don't have to worry about it being too relevant. If we're talking about something, yeah, should put it in the notes. For anyone who listens to the show later and then wants to look at the show notes, they can see them quickly. And it's just nice to
I'm
have
just looking
that.
At Taryn's post now. Do you want me to read it?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. Hello, everyone. I really need your thoughts about something here, something very strange that I've been experiencing for a very long time. Last night, someone contacted me asking if I knew of any blogs covering the Thai cave boy's story. Here was my reply. Hi, thanks for the positive feedback. You know, I haven't really been following any news stories for a while now, so I'm pretty out of the loop. I did notice they're talking a bit about that story at Fakeologist, but I haven't personally read anything about it at all. Here's the link, and then there's a link to your Fakeologist site. But it's funny, because seeing those words, Thai cave boys, immediately made me think of the so-called Thai lady boys. Mm. It may sound silly, but could there maybe be a vaginal theme here with these boys getting lost in the cave? I see the cave in question is called the Great Cave of the Sleeping Lady.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. This could be something about people being violated while sleeping, perhaps symbolic of the sexual assault hysteria going on, or even the idea of the sleeping sheeple being taken advantage of by the controllers, question mark. Lol, I'm probably just reading too much into it as usual. Well, I don't know. I mean, if you've seen Dark City, my personal opinion here, I'm injecting, you know, being modified while you sleep isn't all that crazy, I don't think. Okay, so... there I go doing my own crazy-ass symbolism interpretation thing. I've always felt fine about it, but it is something I've received criticism for in the past, but not here, as far as I can remember, anyway. Anyway, this morning I checked the Yahoo homepage, as I usually do, and witnessed a very interesting coincidence, synchronicity, or whatever you want to call it. I wrote back to the same reader while following up with this message. Hi again. Check out this interesting twist. I don't know if this is the case of the internet... algorithm feeding me this story because of what I typed last night, but check out what just happened to appear as the main headline in the Yahoo homepage today, and this is from sports.yahoo.com. I'll have to look more. Okay, so I've got to follow that link now. Just give me a second.
Yeah, I don't follow all the links because I take the general idea behind them.
He just put the link, so I need to actually go into it to find out what the title was. But it's Kellen Winslow Jr. faces additional charge of raping unconscious 17-year-old in 2003. Jeez, okay, so we just have a parallel news story of a rape taking place in 2003 while someone was asleep.
And that goes way back. Wow.
I'll have to look more into that story to see if there are any more connections. I'm really at a loss to how to explain coincidences like this anymore. I used to think I was simply right about these symbolic themes and had a knack for spotting them in a timely fashion. This sort of thing happens to me all the time. It's basically what has made all my investigations even possible. I'll just dive into a story and the clues will magically start popping up, one after the other. But I'm thinking there must be something else going on here, either something mundane, like you'll always find things, these kinds of connections, if you look for them. So I guess that's what you'd put down to, like, confirmation bias or whatever. Mm-hmm. Or maybe something technological explanation like algorithm thing. Yeah, I see what he's getting at. But I've got to say, like, John Le Bon's been doing a lot of work on synchromysticism and that, and I've started to pay attention to it, and I've got to say there is a lot of weird synchromistic stuff going on. Like, in all that old Howard Stern I've been listening to, I was listening to something from 2007, and right as they literally said the word Lamborghini, which is not, you know, you don't hear that said often in conversation. It's a weird name. But one actually pulled up beside me in traffic, and that's not a car you see very often here in Australia either. Like, that's a really luxury sports car. So,
yeah.
Like, weird things like that happen to me, and I go, that is really bizarre. Like, this can't just be confirmation bias that we see these so-called coincidences.
No, but it is attention focus.
Yes.
I mean, you know, if you never see a Lamborghini in Australia and then you hear about a Lamborghini that is impressive, that impresses you in a radio show, and then you walk out, you pay attention if you see one. That's the receptiveness
of the
event.
That.
I think it is a rational
explanation. That's confirmation bias. That's what that is.
Well, yeah. I would disagree. Like, there's no... like hearing the word. That's not like I heard it and then went outside. This is one pulling up right beside me as I hear the word on the radio. And it's not even live radio. This is radio from 7 years ago, you know, okay. Or 2007, I should say.
Well, would you have noticed it if you weren't thinking or talking about it or hearing about it? That's the question.
But if a Lamborghini pulled up beside me, I wouldn't have I would have just gone, oh, there's a Lamborghini. If I heard it in the story they were telling on the radio, I would have gone, oh, they're talking about a Lamborghini. But the fact that they both happen at once to me is not just coincidence. That's like...
There is a name for
that. I don't
know.
Maybe we're having a fundamental disagreement here. But for me, that's weird. That's not. That's just not coincidence. I get that you can say, yeah, we only notice coincidence because it happens. Like, I get that side of things. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it happens a little too often for comfort, like it's
no,
he's
it is
being
not,
put there by something greater than myself.
Yeah. But look, it is not a coincidence because the car would have been there even if you would have not noticed it. Yeah. That's the difference.
Did you notice the Ferrari that was right behind it?
What I'm trying to say is that there is a... in literature, there is a big example of that that has also coined a term. I had tried to find it after you were writing about it with this occult stuff and also Tehran with the synchronicity. I am not sure if it is called the Nana syndrome out of Emile Zola's Nana. I'm not sure about that. I could not confirm it, and I have not read the story for many years. But it is a woman's name, and it is a story about a guy who is in love with that woman, but she doesn't want him, so he is very obsessed about his unresponded emotions or whatever.
Unrequited
and everywhere,
love.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. And everywhere where he goes, he sees all the time this stuff that we call now in this new language synchronicities. He sees that in one window in the shop there is a dress that she also had and used to wear.
Yeah, but there's a demonstrated bias there when she had the dress already and he's emotionally fixed on that dress. But I don't like Lamborghinis. I've got no emotional attachment to that. But they both happened at the same time. And I do understand that they're only coincidences because we notice them. We don't notice all the things that aren't coincidences because we wouldn't call them a coincidence. I see that. But for me, it's beyond simple explanation that Lamborghini would show up twice like that at the same time in my life.
Yeah. But that's exactly what makes it impressive.
And it's not just that. It's happening more and more with other things I notice.
Yeah. But, you know, the interesting point of that, from my understanding, is not why does it happen, because for that you cannot have an explanation. The interesting point is what does it do to your consciousness? And I think that is the way how the media also do exploit these moments, because propaganda, let's say, for sexistic contents, or violent contents or whatever, is all the time in the media. And you do not notice it because it is made to not be noticed. It is subconsciously working on you. The moments that you get through are coined out of your own attention that you have for some other reason, maybe because you were... 2 points came together or 2 moments came together that were not planned. So I find that point is more interesting than just to call it something, to call it synchronicity, and then it becomes religious or whatever, and you cannot analyze it anymore. It's interesting to understand why. What does it make to your consciousness?
Mm-hmm. Well, how can you go into more detail with how you think the media capitalize on that? Because, I mean, like, I think to the most part, I'm aware of what the messages the media put there and what it does to an unaware mind.
It's impossible, Velocet. Not even one image you can be aware of all the associations that it contains, because it is the history of mankind in every product, you know. the associations are there. And I'll try to keep it on the example that we are talking, the Thai cave psyop. Of course, the Thai cave psyop was a coordinated effort by the big media and the big military operators. And for sure... The aside stories that were produced by other, maybe smaller content or whatever, were aware of the PSYOP and were using it in order to present their own products. So I see, what I'm saying is, it has an effect of why they choose then to bring some stories, first of all. It is not only that you mentioned them because, or Terran Downware mentioned it because it was there in that moment after he read about the Thai cave, Sion, but it is also placed in a bigger modus, maybe, because of the Thai Sion. You understand what I mean, what connection I'm making?
I think so, yeah.
At the moment you have, let's say, the World Cup of soccer, you have much advertisement about ice cream. Have you ever mentioned that?
You're more likely to run into it.
You're more likely to... No, there is also more. That's what I'm saying. They exploit the big narrative that is running to place other products and to relate them unconsciously with that.
Yeah, tie them together to soccer. Yeah.
Tie them together, something like that.
If you could buy soccer ice cream or soccer pizza, you're likely to pick it up. If there's a World Cup FIFO or whatever it's called, flavor to it. Yeah. Yeah, that's just marketing.
That's marketing, yeah.
And marketing, it works. It works. 101. It works. It works.
I don't think it works on me for the most part.
No, but you're skeptical.
I'm a consumer anyway, so.
You're a super skeptic if we can get through to you. Did you realize how dumb the masses are? Not to offend the masses here, but really, they're very simple-minded.
Yeah, well,
to be honest, it's Thais.
We're all walking around in this world of weird zombies that we can't really relate to.
But Velo said,
the reason
after
I brought
9/11,
up that thing...
Just a simple question. After 9/11, after you realized that it was a psyop, do you still believe that you are not affected by the media?
No, of course not. But I believe before being aware of media deception, I was still a very sort of left-wing sort of anti-consumer person who, like, we've got a lot of good government shows here that expose advertising and that. So, I mean, I was always sort of aware of the way advertising worked on me, and I haven't been a big consumer. Like, I don't think I go out and make purchases because I see advertising in the sidebar on the internet. Like,
you
simply don't buy
that.
A lot of stuff. Like, I just don't.
You belong to the same category of consumers that maybe I do also. I'm not sure about app. That this category of consumers are the paradigms for the creation of the special, let's say, elements of psyops and other narratives. You know, that's the creative pot out of where the ideas come for the marketing sector. Because our reactions are important for them to evaluate and to produce better stuff. So you are affected, of course you are.
No, I'm sure I am affected, but I mean, I've thought of myself that I'm not heavily affected, because I know, like, a lot of people, not that I know a lot of people, but I mean, you know, general society does a lot more consuming than I do. Like, I don't buy a lot of frivolous items. It's basically necessity for me, food, clothing, just simple stuff, you know. And I haven't bought a lot of clothing in years, you know. So I know even then it's not like brands and those kinds of things heavily affect my decision. It's more of a functional purchase, you know, and I'll make a decision based on, you know, longevity of an item rather than a fashion choice and things like that.
Yeah, but if you see something you recognize and you got it from the media, you're more likely to go for that.
Yeah.
Just because you're familiar.
Yeah, so, yeah, I'm not saying I'm not affected at all. Obviously, there's still going to be bias in my decisions. But, I mean, it's not like I see nonsense in Instagram and run out and buy whatever stupid shit I've been told I need.
Well, you're not going to buy Brand X if you've never heard of it. Why would you take a risk if there's no one, even a fake person, vouching for it? It's very difficult to overcome that.
Do you like Lamborghini? No,
I have no love for that, and it's not like I had a bias to see.
I hate them.
Are these the yellow ones?
Well, they can be in any color you want. They're just super low sports cars.
If you're paying that much, you'd want to be able to choose your color.
Exactly.
Okay. The Ferrari are the red ones, I think, and the Lamborghini are
the
yellow ones.
They can be in any color, Faye. That might be the stereotype.
Like Ferrari have Ferrari red, like they have their own color patented for that, you know, like a Pantone color for their car.
You know, to really evaluate if it was a superstitious, or how is the word, occurrence, you should now the next 2 weeks, for example, go out with a notice block and write down what cars do you see. But you have to write them all down so that you would realize, oh, there were also some BMW that we never see in Australia or whatever.
But the chances of those, it's already rare enough to hear that word in the conversation and rare enough to see it on the street that obviously I can't record every car I see.
Have you any idea how?
It's the same kind of infinitesimally small chance that they tell us that life exists, it's another one of those big lies, make it so ridiculous you can't comprehend it.
The chances that life exists is zero. And the chances that we talk together, you from Australia and me from Switzerland, are also zero. But we do.
Yeah, I know. Well, part of me is just like, if I don't know, I'd rather err on the side of believing I'm part of something bigger than believing in some soulless universe. Like, that's not very uplifting for me. I look back now at the young Joel who came out of high school thinking he knew everything, because obviously religion's a load of kooky shit and we all came from, gorillas or whatever. Like, I look back now and go, man.
Well, I don't think it's obvious we come from gorillas, but...
No, it's a chimpanzee, you know.
Well, if you believe that, I'll believe in the magic dust before I believe I came from a chimpanzee. But let's get back on...
I'm just pointing out the liberal brainwashing we get here, that's what most people leaving high school would think, that they're in the right, and anyone who believes in religion or, The Simpsons always talks about the kooky religious people who believe dinosaurs don't exist. You know, that's a common Reverend Lovejoy joke
true?
In The Simpsons. And I think... that's the way we're produced here, that we have that superiority, like religion is all kooky nonsense. And I think, the pendulum's got to rest somewhere in the middle where we can accept that, okay, once you realize you've been lied to about all that, I go, okay, well, look, I'm more open to a spiritual sense of the world than to put my faith in science.
Yeah, I agree.
But that's a good point, because I think that is what happens to the consciousness when you have this aha moment and say, wow, two Lamborghini. Lamborghinis without any reason, just because I listened to us, that is something that happens to you, and maybe you can call it religious or spiritual. My problem with the terms religious and spiritual are that these are institutions of power. That's why I don't like the words.
I'm not saying I say you should go to church and invest money in the institution.
I understand.
That's clearly not the case, but I'm just pointing out that it makes, there are moments, and I'm sure you must have had them too, where some things happen in life and you get a little warm feeling inside you and you just go, there is someone, something is reaching out to let you know everything's good.
I haven't
good.
Had
good,
enough
mate.
Of those.
You're safe and...
I can't.
Well,
I
had a few.
I haven't enough
thank
of them.
You, that's good.
I wish
you
I had more.
Had what you have.
No, I haven't. I need more. I need more coincidences.
You work too much up. That's the reason.
Yeah, probably. Well, I'm not working
today.
Well,
like 9/11, we'll all, everyone listening to this live should focus their energy on Ab and wish him, imagine good thoughts and maybe
yeah, imagine a Lamborghini pulling up, but I turn it away because they're very expensive to maintain. I don't want a Lamborghini, trust me. I'm just too practical. I've got
the
about
big money's made in mass production cars. People think Lamborghini must be rich, but man, there's no money in making those cars.
No,
all the development goes
cars.
Into it's mass produced is where the money's made. Fords and GM and all that.
Okay, yeah. I have no idea about cars.
Yes, well, yeah, they're the most profitable, best-selling car in North America is the Ford pickup truck, and it has not changed much in 30 years. They add a few things technologically wise, but they don't cost that much money, so they don't. Basically, it's four wheels on a frame and a body. It hasn't changed much, and they are making a ton of money on that vehicle because they don't even have
it's
to.
It's really useful.
Yeah, it's useful.
That's one of the best-selling cars here now, too. We never had those kinds of things.
We never had big pickups.
We had the best-selling Holden Ute. But
yeah,
the American Ford pickup style has been started to push here as a, what do they call it? Ford, I forget the name of it, but it's like a sports version of what you'd have as the F-150 or something like that. It's like a sporty version of that. And they've gone, they sell crazy amount. You see them everywhere here, everywhere.
Well, it's the best-selling car in North America, and it doesn't cost that much money to make. So let's get back on to Fakeology. I got about 20 minutes left before I have to go to the beach. and I'm pretty mm-hmm. sure the beach is safe.
And I have to go to the garden.
Yes, yes.
I have to water my garden.
So let's get back on Fakeology. That's enough for Thai cave hoax. I think the minute I heard Elon Musk was involved, I knew that there was definitely some Fakeology angle to it. Because he's another very strange individual who was used to promote Tesla and SpaceX, and the idea that he has too much to do with it, I don't really think his whole story is kooky. Now, let me get to one of the latest Fakeologist.com postings, because the whole website is based on 9/11, and I have a post called PSYOP Couple featuring Ariana Grande. I only bring that up because one of my junior fakeologists brought this up, that apparently she's getting married to somebody who is the son of a 9/11 firefighter. Mm-hmm. And Ariana Grande, of course, was the big Manchester bombing hoax, which I guess was...
Sorry, can you just reiterate what the connection there is again? Sorry, I missed that.
Okay, Ariana Grande was some female artiste who was about to do a show in Manchester a year or so ago.
I'm familiar with the event. I just wasn't sure about the relationship between this survivor.
Yeah, and she is now getting married to someone she just recently met named Pete Davidson, whose father was a 9/11 firefighter. One of the, I believe, numbers 343 that died allegedly at 9/11. So, just another...
What does that tell us?
Well, what does it tell me? It tells me that the actors that are chosen to be in these psychological operations, these hoax events, they use them over more than once to reinforce myths. Because I'm not saying Ariana Grande has to be in on what happened at the Manchester event. It's not necessary for her to know too many details, if any. But
I would like to think our deceivers have something between their ears, you know. But
yeah, well, they do.
I don't think she does.
Well, there such a big discussion all the time about the families that rule the world? I was just thinking when I read this comment or post on Fakeologist.com about Ariana Grande, for the first time, actually, I thought, hey, actually, they are from their birth on, they are integrated in this somehow like a shadow population. That's a shadow population that are around all these hoaxes and Hollywood productions and media infrastructure. Because what is now the situation with Ariana Grande? She was unknown prior to that event in Manchester.
Well, unknown to me, but not to her audience. She'd have an audience.
She was new.
She was big
new
on the charts here long before that.
Okay.
She's had a lot of number one hits here in Australia.
But I actually thought she became actually an artist because she was already in that family, in that population of psyops that are many generations maybe. And
maybe. I don't know her history at all. I can't comment. Maybe Vela sits closer in age. No?
Don't tar me with that brush. It's not like I listen to her shit.
No, but you might be more aware of it. I'm not aware of that genre at all. You might be more aware of it.
No, not at all. No, I listen to old stuff. My favorite band, Steely Dan.
Donald Fagan.
I like Steely Dan.
Yeah. Bah, 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 bah. I love that stuff. I used to listen to that while I was studying years ago. I think it's weird because, like, what that reminded me of when you were talking about from birth is the David Icke lizard people thing's not all that crazy when you think about it. Like, I mean, try telling someone that, oh, there's an elite, you know, there's groups of people in our society who are secretly running things and they're all around us, you know, like they live, but, you know, you don't know about it. People would think you're insane, but it's like, is it that hard to believe that if you've been indoctrinated since birth, that there aren't the people on the other side of the fence, the elite people who run things, they're not just as indoctrinated and told, listen, we're a secret group, you shut up about it and you keep quiet and you don't tell anyone. Like, there's nothing to say that they could be completely subhuman or whatever, and you know, they're committed to their cause, so they do never speak about it. Like, I don't get how people can't see that that's a distinct possibility, that when you're raised from birth with certain beliefs, you wouldn't keep it a secret and you wouldn't have to put it out there.
But there is no secret. That's the whole thing, you know.
Oh, I get that they put it in your face, but I'm saying, like, if you tried to tell someone that there's occulted knowledge and there's people that all work together to run things, that would seem insane. But you don't know when they were first introduced to that and when they were raised with that belief and with that knowledge.
Yeah, but I think that is part of the deception, I think, you know. There are people and they have power. And they are in some networks of power. That means they know they have something that they share. Might that be PsyOps productions and immobiliars or what are they called? Housing infrastructure or banks or whatever. It is a kind of something strong that connects people. It is not a secret or an occult thing. The occult and all this other stuff is the deception of it, that you can then think, oh, wow, how do they keep these secrets? They do not keep any secrets. They just live their lives. They have power. They have their jobs. They can choose the jobs. They are always in the surroundings that protect each other, and that's all.
Yes.
But Ariana Grande doesn't come out and tell you that that bombing was fake. So there's a secret.
No, but she knows it. I'm sure about that. Because she's now marrying a guy.
About it. It's what I'm saying. She didn't get introduced to this 5 minutes ago and decide to keep her mouth shut. She's been raised knowing
that. She was born into it. Yeah.
She's born
exactly.
into it.
It's
the
family business.
Yeah.
And I don't even know. I don't even know who her family is. I'm just. Or she's brought into a business where. She is not only a musician, she's a tool for those that like to influence others. That's part of the job. Just like...
Well, you don't even need to be a musician anymore. So
no,
chances are she's intentionally something else more than she is a musician.
Yeah, she's a role. Like, for example, Zuckerberg or... the Yahoo CEOs or whatever, the Google CEOs.
I don't know, that's a bit of a stretch. I'm pretty sure Mark Zuckerberg figured out all on his own how to build the world's most powerful data harvesting. He's a genius and he deserves everything coming to him.
No, you don't say that now. That's a joke, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes, he's being facetious. Okay. Yeah, that's a little sarcasm.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It is a really, that is the thing that we call the families, but it is not something conspiratorial. It's the way the things work in life, that if you have something to protect, you do it very carefully, and if you raise your children in a palace in South France, you just teach them that you are different than the others. And they get their jobs, and they are not speaking about that they do not sing at all, and everything is playback. They do not care about it.
Now let's welcome the four live listeners we have now. We have United Kingdom, somewhere in the United States. We have Montana and New York City listening. And you guys can call in. We'll be here for a little longer. The phone number is 518-639-6233. 518-639.
Montana.
Well, I know that's where...
Down on the ranch.
Yeah.
Up and Velocet, I will leave you to continue on your own because I have now to go.
Okay.
And we will meet again next Sunday. Bye-bye. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Faye.
Thank you, Faye.
There goes Faye. One thing I like about Faye is she leaves quickly. When she says she's going to leave, she just goes. She goes and she goes.
I know. Almost too quick that you can't really say a proper goodbye.
Yeah, I know. She just doesn't want any extra...
It's been a while since we've chatted. I don't think I've ever chatted to her on air in the live stream, but there was one of Rollo's very rollicking nights that there were about five of us down here from the Southern Hemisphere all chatting one night, and we'd all had a bit to drink, and then she joined. I don't know what time it was there, but she joined us and hung around for about an hour, and from memory, I think the conversation got a bit smutty, so she bowed out gracefully.
Oh, is that right?
After that, it was the first time I had a chance to speak to her, and we did. It was on topic for a little while, but it went off the rails a bit towards the end.
Well, it happens sometimes with drunken Aussies, don't you think?
Yeah, unfortunately. Oh, speaking of which, I'm just over a month sober now.
Okay.
Taking up my own version of John LeBond's 12-week challenge. So I'm making a concerted effort if I'm going to – not that I'm doing it for this or anything. I've got my own reasons. But
Well, good for you.
Yeah, I find there's no need to be messy on the radio. So.
No, there's enough problems. Just trying to get through. Actually, I know your picture reminds me of, I don't know if you know this band. I'm trying to find an early picture of Rick Nelson of Cheap Trick. Are you familiar with that band? Because we're going to play out with that.
I know the band Cheap Trick, but I don't know the people from it. I was having a chat to Rollo the other night, and he said we had a webcam chat. That's the first time he'd seen me. You know who he said I look like? Do you remember the guy from the first Saw movie?
Saw? No, I never watched that.
Okay. There's a guy who's like handcuffed or like ankle cuffed or something to a radiator in a room in the first Saw movie, and he said I look like that guy. And I was actually like, really? You think that? Like, I don't see it. Like, I get that I'm blonde and blue eyes, but it's a bit of a stretch. Like, I wouldn't peg myself as that guy, but anyway.
I'm trying to find, if your picture is accurate, I'm trying to find a picture of Rick Nelson from Cheap Trick, one of his early ones. The only ones I can see right now are of him being looking rather aged, so he's probably a little older than me, maybe by 5 or 10 years, so I can't find an original picture, but just with your hat, you gave me that impression, so I'll send you a link here.
It's kind of a silly photo, though, that one.
No, it's just with the way you wore your hat. Oh, I see. Rick Nelson is 72 this year. Wow. That's really old. But anyway, that's the reason when you wore your hat in that fashion. That's who I thought of. So it's interesting. But that is a great song. Okay, well, let's see here. We're almost out of time here. I was going to ask you what you thought of this iceberg in Greenland and what you thought of Greenland. Maybe we'll finish up on that topic. There was a video.
I'm not familiar with it. What's that?
Oh, there was a picture of a very large iceberg that was floating by Greenland. And it only interested me because I was in a province called Newfoundland in Canada on my Cross Canada tour. And the one thing I didn't have a chance to do is go up to a particular part of that island to look at icebergs. Because now, because it's summer, it's past the summer solstice, so things are getting warm in this area of the world. And that's when the icebergs start to break off from Iceland and start floating down the east coast towards Newfoundland. And people go and actually, as tourists, go there just to take pictures of icebergs and whales. And coincidentally, there was a large iceberg that showed up in and around Greenland and was quote-unquote threatening a fishing town. So it got me thinking, it's possible, but then again, if you believe that only 10% of icebergs are visible and the other 90% is below the water, so if you saw a huge iceberg, then that means there's an even bigger part of it below the water.
It's going to get beached pretty quick.
And then I started thinking about Greenland and what do we know about Greenland? Is it as we are told? And are there any fakeologists in Greenland? And do they have access to the internet? Which, of course, I believe everyone in the whole world can get on the internet in some way or another. So it'd be interesting if there anyone listening in Greenland, connect to us here at Fakeologist. And if there's the remote chance that you are anywhere near this fishing village called In Our Suit, which I guess is a Danish word, and they speak Danish in Greenland, I believe. That'd be interesting if we could get somebody to call in and confirm whether or not any of this visual evidence is real.
It's important to note too, like, I mean, it's hard when you're doing it to such a small audience live right now, but even if someone hears this in podcast, you know, a year from now, it's still, you know, we're not going to have any more information to go off. So it doesn't hurt to get in touch regardless and just post stuff that you think is relevant. So put that message out there to future listeners, I guess.
Yeah, because it always comes up now and then, this big picture of an iceberg, for instance, and then they say if it breaks off, it'll create a huge tidal wave and flood out the whole coast. But I just thought Jungle Surfer.
Do they attach a lot of global warming fear to that? Or
global warming? Well, I think it's switched to climate change for the last couple of years. And yeah, it's always been. It's always attached to these things. And of course, I was just discussing this today because where I live, they got rid of all the green energy government programs. We had a new provincial government come in and clear all the very, I would say, flaky projects to create green, so-called green energy, wind, solar, those kind of mega projects, those unstable energies. And I was getting into the idea that most people, I think, because they can use their five senses, agree that pollution, air pollution, water pollution, those are real things that happen. And I think most people agree that pollution probably can cause you some short and long-term health problems. For instance, if you're just standing or working in a diesel area where there's diesel engines blowing out unfiltered exhaust, it's probably going to affect you.
Well, we know if you're having a hard time at life, it's very easy for some people to put themselves in the garage with the car running, and we know that has adverse consequences. So there is first-hand evidence to suggest what comes out of a car is not great for you to breathe in heavy concentration.
Exactly. So if you say, listen, we should spend money to stop pollution, ground-level pollution, I think most people are for that. But if you give them some abstract idea that the climate is changing in this macro big picture way, in a way that there's no way they can sense, then they're not going to be on board unless you use huge amounts of propaganda and repetition and all the methods to try and beat people over the head over the long term and convince them that it's real, even if it's not something they can sense. So I don't know why they switched to climate change unless it just allows for bigger, much larger projects and larger scams to take place without challenge. Because, again, people can't fight what they can't see or sense.
Oh, I would just say it's the thing about, well, they said they called it global warming, but then the fact that we still had winter meant the deception was a bit too obvious, so they had to change to climate change. But, I mean, I know so many people that don't believe in it, but still attribute it to, well, the world just changes naturally. It naturally goes up and down. But, I mean, people are concerned, like, this isn't supposed to be something that's even going to be a threat to people in our lifetime. So people are concerned about something that's not even going to affect their reality, you know, and they can go on all they like about, oh, but my kids. And so, well, so what about your kids? Like, you're not going to be there. You don't know what the hell goes on after this life. So why would you be concerned about this horrible, dystopian future that might be awaiting when it's probably not going to happen? You know, I've got friends who think they've seen the water come up in their lifetime, you know, like they live near the beach and reckon that the water's 20 mil higher. I'm like, are you kidding? Like,
you couldn't even measure that accurately. You know, you need
it's absurd. Long-term.
It's absurd. Yeah, it is absurd. But, again, I think pollution is real. I think that's worth curbing and worth getting rid of. But
you don't think nature can adapt to the pollution put out throughout the Industrial Revolution where we are now? Like, nature just naturally adapts to that? Like, it seems to take our shit and do something with it? Like,
I think it can in the long term, but in the short term, I don't think it's good to wade through your own waste. I think that has short-term negative health consequences. So, yeah, I would say that's not a good thing, and that's something we should stop. That's something I would be willing to spend my hard-earned money to stop and influence. So anyway,
you think there's a heavy concentration of waste though? Like, I don't think it's that big compared to the kind of space where, like, you've heard the thing that the whole world's population can fit in Texas, right? And that's true. I've checked the numbers on that. I think we'd each get a 9 by 9 meter space in Texas, the whole world's population. And that's if you believe it's something like 7.5 billion, which I doubt it is. I'm more inclined to side with the guide stones and say maybe 500 million. But if we can all fit in Texas, then our waste compared on a worldwide scale is almost nothing. Like, we have this idea that we're the scourge of the earth, just wrecking everything, and I don't think it's the case at all.
No, I agree with you, and I live in a far more vast nation than the United States, and I've traveled in. There's nobody here. They're just concentrated in a few cities. What I'm saying is, if we pollute
Australia is much
very,
the same in that way.
Yeah, I agree. If we just pollute the super concentrated areas in which we live, yeah, that has negative health effects on the immediate surroundings.
Directly on us, yes.
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about. I don't think we're going to alter the earth by everyone running their cars 24/7. No, but we will hurt ourselves right in the vicinity that we are living, for sure. That's what I'm talking about. But yeah, as far as the big picture of how big this world is, and the country I live in is vast, and there's no way you could fill this country up with the entire planet. It wouldn't be possible. And even if everyone had 10 kids tomorrow, it would just take a super long time, because this country we live in Canada is just vast. It's so huge. It's you can't even conceive of it, really. It's just massive.
It's a wonder we don't put our trash or garbage or wherever you are further away from where we are. Like, we've just got this whole approval going on in Sydney City now that they're building a waste incinerator. Some developer stepped forward and going, oh, well, we'll burn all the rubbish. It's like, why would you, right in the heart of the city, you're going to build a giant waste incinerator? Like, couldn't you stick it out on the outskirts? Like,
yeah. No, I'm for incineration, but I don't want to get too far off track here.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with the incineration. I'm just saying, like, if it could have potentially harmful stuff coming out of it, why would you build it right near where the residential areas are? Why can't you stick it, on the outskirts of town, or just, half an hour outside in the middle of nowhere? Like, you don't have to drive far before you reach really rural areas where there's just no one around, and you'll understand that from the way Canada is. It wouldn't be hard to build it there, and then you reduce the impact on people.
Possibly, yeah. I have my own thoughts about garbage. And actually, if people want to read my non-fakeologist views, I have a sub-blog called Moreab, M-O-R-E-A-B, .fakeologist.com. That's where some of my ideas have some fakeologist great strains to them, but overall they're just sort of general political. Some of the stuff I used to talk about before I was a fakeologist, and I post it over there.
Moreab.fakeologist. You don't have moron.fakeologist, do you?
No, there's no morons there. Yeah. It's more ab. Take the on out and change it to ab, yeah.
Nice.
And other sub-blogs that are fairly dormant at the moment. The EGI thing has got quite quiet because all the YouTubers who are posting have disappeared, which is too bad because, if nothing else, they were entertaining. So that's EGI.fakeologist.com and also savechat.fakeologist.com. What SaveChat is, it was just an attempt to, instead of posting all my content on Twitter, I post it on my own sublog, and then it goes out to the Twitter sphere, and if they want, they can find everything on my Twitter-like blog, savechat.fakeologist.com. That's just for quick thoughts that might not be worthy of a blog post or a forum post. But once more, if anyone's interested in contributing, they can hit me up at PayPal. I don't have a Patreon, but PayPal, you can make a slight donation if you want. $1.19 a month is all it takes. And that helps support and keep those involved here encouraged. We are normally on Discord, but we do Skype now since the Discord has gone hushed or quiet. And the main reason I did that is to allow for phone calls, of which I have received almost none. So it's going to take a while.
Well, if it counts, although I dialed you over the internet on Skype, I did find your account by typing in the number instead of searching the name.
So it does work. So you typed in the phone number.
Yeah.
And that brought me up.
And then it called through on Skype, yeah. So even though I wasn't calling from a real phone, it's still internally Skype can figure out that it's one of their numbers and use it.
That's interesting.
But yeah, if you feel that you have got value out of Fakeologist, do donate, because you'll feel good about it. I know I did.
So you typed in the phone number and I came up as my Fakeologist name.
Yep.
Well, that's really interesting. I'm trying to search for my phone number in the Skype, but it doesn't come up. But if you're saying you brought up the dial pad And when you started typing it in, all of a sudden you saw the fakeologist name.
Yep.
Interesting.
I saw the little wizard man and thought, that's who I'm looking for.
Oh, okay. Well, hey, it doesn't matter how you find me. That's fantastic. Okay. All right. Well, that's terrific. Well, thanks for calling in, Velocet. And I just want to hit the beach right now. We don't have very many of these days. Global warming.
Yeah, you should make use of that. I'm here in we're in our winter, so it's bloody freezing here. Well, at least, you know, it's no European winter, but
yeah. What does bloody freezing mean in Celsius? In Australia,
I think it feels like about 4 degrees outside. I could check to see what the local weather is, but
That's chilly.
Yeah, it's pretty cold.
Yeah, I'll call that cold. It's not snowing though.
No. Well, no. We only get snow here up in the Blue Mountains on the dividing range kind of thing up the coast. It's not like where we are in the lower sea level part of Sydney. No, you don't get snow here.
Okay. Well, we've had snow in June here, and that's the name of an album that I like to listen to. But
there you go. Where I am is currently 3 degrees Celsius. So I was close in guessing. But I know, yeah, I go outside for a cigarette, and it's very painful.
All right, Velocet. Well, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it. We're going to try and show up here every Sunday. So if you want to call in, you're certainly more than welcome to call anytime or connect anytime. We're just trying to make this more regular and try and make it interesting, although sometimes it's easy to go off topic. But, hey. We're here just to chat about this kind of stuff, and not get too.
You know, from my history, that I like to just chat, but
no, it's good.
I like to come and contribute when I've got the time.
Yeah, you got a great audio setup, and I know you've been staying up all night because it's now 4 a.m. there, which is quite dedicated to call into a radio show. I appreciate that.
I'm a night owl, an owl, as they say.
All right, and thanks to Faye as well. Appreciate her calling in. And we'll play out with a little bit of Rick Nielsen's band, his number one hit. And I'm sure Velocet will appreciate it, being an audiophile and liking some of the old stuff. Here we go. Dream Police by Cheap Trick and Rick Nielsen. Go look up his face there.
Okay.
Take care.